Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Hello, horror hounds, and welcome to Now Slaying, an It Slays podcast production where we break down the latest and greatest in the world of horror. I'm your not-so-humble host, Colton.
I'm Rowan.
And today on the show, we're going to be reviewing Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, which was released February 15th, 2023, exclusively in theaters, but just hit video on demand earlier this week. But before we get to the discussion, Rowan, I think I already know the answer to this, but growing up as a kid, were you a big fan of Winnie the Pooh? And based off of that answer, were you looking forward to the bastardization of your childhood?
I know you figure right. I had never seen Winnie the Pooh. I've seen like clips of it. I'm aware of it. I know what it is, but I've never like actually sat down, watched like a show or a movie of Winnie the Pooh. I think the closest I ever got to it was I used to have a VHS tape when I was like really young, like six and under, of like Disney clips, but it was like sing-alongs or whatever, of just songs from random movies. And in that was a clip of Winnie the Pooh, even though it's not Disney. I don't know why it was on this.
Winnie the Pooh, not Disney? I thought Winnie the Pooh was Disney.
Was it? I don't know. I told you, I don't know anything about Winnie the Pooh, man.
Yeah, adapted by Walt Disney, you know, big old Walt Disney.
There
Disney's
you go.
Winnie the Pooh, you know.
Makes sense.
I mean, the original books weren't Disney, you know. It was just eventually, I think, when it became like an animated character, I think they kind of popularized them to a certain degree outside of, you know, the children's books.
So, yeah, I had zero experience with it. What about yourself?
Were you looking forward to this one?
Oh, was I looking forward to this? I mean,
yeah.
I feel it's a loaded question, man. I feel as much as like the rest of the horror community was, where obviously, you know, this got like a lot of press from the get-go just because of what the subject matter was in terms of Winnie the Pooh. And so that always piques my interest. And it was kind of vague at the beginning. Like, I knew it was indie, but I didn't know if it was like, you know, indie with a moderate budget, or was this like just a $10 budget thing?
Yeah.
So I was curious. I really did want to, I was like, I have to see other people's childhoods get ruined. So let's see what's it all about. Yeah, what about yourself? Are you in the Winnie the Pooh as a kid? Maybe you still are. Maybe you're like a Winnie the Pooh adult. I don't know what they'd be called.
I'm not a Disney adult. I did watch a lot of Winnie the Pooh. I was a big fan as a kid. I'd say like the children's books probably helped me learn how to read. Like I probably hit them when I was five. I watched the show all the time on TV. I'd rent, you know, the straight to VHS movies with my siblings to watch on weekends and stuff like that. I actually even remember my mom wearing a pajama set that featured a sleeping Winnie the Pooh on the front of it with an eye mask. So I don't know. It's very much involved in my childhood upbringing. And then there was always like the common Pooh Bear and Tigger kind of impressions that kids would do on the playground and whatnot as well. So I don't know. He was very much in the zeitgeist when I was growing up. That being said, I don't know if my early childhood nostalgia really helped get me excited for this at all. Not necessarily because it seemed like it was going to spill blood and honey all over my like rose-colored childhood memories, but because it seemed more like a quick and dirty cash grab now that the Winnie the Pooh IP was no longer protected by copyright. So this wasn't like a banana split situation where they made a movie based off of a children's show with the right holders like permission and blessing to turn it into like a horror movie. This was literally just you know, filmmakers kind of abusing, or you know, using an IP as soon as it hits the public domain to make a quick buck. Is basically what I think it mostly was. You know, even before the movie came out, I mean, I heard that the filmmaker wanting to make a cinematic universe of childhood horror, incorporating like Bambi and Peter Pan, and he wants there to be like two or three Winnie the Pooh movies and stuff. So it's just very much, you're kind of coming out there, you're throwing out these big ideas and wanting to make big money to keep funding these ideas. So for me, I don't know if it's a cash grab or an artistic endeavor. So I don't know. We'll probably get into that in the review. So yeah, before we get into it, I'd say let's just throw it on and over to the trailer.
Should be close now. Pooh, Piglet, Eeyore, We were friends for many years.
Christopher, we need to leave.
What you just heard is from Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, written and directed by Rhys Frake Waterfield, and the story is as follows. With the promise of a bright future ahead of him, an adult Christopher Robin leaves for college and leaves his childhood friends, Winnie the Pooh and Piglet, behind. But when the duo is abandoned, it isn't long before they turn feral, bloodthirsty, and terrorize a group of young women deep in the Hundred Acre Wood. Now, here on Now Slang, we like to keep things relatively spoiler-free up front before getting into the more in-depth spoiler-filled discussion. So, Rowan, what are your spoiler-free thoughts on Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
You know, I think if you're going into this and you have zero expectations, with the only expectation being that I'm going to see a, like, no-budget horror movie, then, you know what, it probably would, like, it's probably not overly going to disappoint. I can't say this overly disappointed me. I thought there was interesting enough, like, some competent, like, camera work and shots in this.
Oh, we'll have to get into that. I can't wait to hear more.
Yeah, like, I'll get more specific in the spoiler All right. section. But as someone that is very familiar with ITN, who is the distributor of this film, which I've talked about, I'm sure, on main episodes before, but ITN exclusively distributes straight to DVD movies to Walmart for $10. And, you know, it's the ones that have, like, stock image covers that they've used a couple times. And, you know, they just change the title on them. So that, you know, I knew what I was getting into, because as someone, especially during the pandemic, that just kind of bought those at Walmart for something to do when I wasn't working, I'm used to the quality being like a home video digital camera, and usually, like, no microphones. Like, you're just listening to, like, people talking in a room echoing just on a camera microphone. So going into this, I was pretty surprised at how competent it was in terms of just, like, when I say competent, just, like, bare competencies. Like,
okay, he's reacting to me, like, kind of smiling or laughing on the other side.
Like you can hear what they're saying. It sounds like they're actually talking, like, properly into a microphone. You know, the camera looks like it was a somewhat professional camera, just things like that. Now, ITM products, you gotta know your gore. About 50% of your gore, it's coming from, like, iMovie special effects.
Oh yeah.
Which, yeah. But to me, that's half the fun, is I'm just like, how bad can we get these special effects? And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about some specific kills, some specific scenes in the spoiler section. But, you know, I think this, it delivers on the name. It delivers on some blood. It delivers on a lot of gooey honey. And
not enough honey for my liking.
Not enough honey for your liking.
I think it takes 53 minutes before we get some good honey in this movie. But, you know, it's... It is there. It is present. Yes.
We get a lot of, like, jars of empty
jars,
honey with
yes.
blood on them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was definitely, there was things about this movie I think were pretty good. Like, you know, I thought the intro was good. I thought some of the kills were good. And then, you know, there's stuff that we're going to get in the detail. Like, I'm sure, like, some of the editing and some of the, like, plot choices, and maybe acting choices in lots
I'm
of
just
things.
Gonna say it right here. I've seen better acting under, like, the amateur tab on Pornhub than I've seen in this movie. This is some of the worst acting I've ever seen in a movie, and I'm not familiar with ITN, ITM? What's the name of the distributor?
ITN.
N? Okay. I'm not familiar with their work, but this was truly some of the worst acting I've ever seen in a movie. Some of the people here, I was just like, I don't know if it's the direction, I don't know if it's the script, Personally, I think it's a bit of both, considering it's a writer-director. But yeah, this is really bad acting at times, specifically Christopher Robin and his girlfriend in the beginning of the movie. Oof, that was rough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to save most of my stuff for the spoiler section. I will say that I think this may have worked better if it wasn't Winnie the Pooh, because they definitely were trying to go for this Hills Have Eyes, like, we get a creepy gas station. It kind of has this, you know, it's like rural town slasher vibe. And I think maybe just like as a typical slasher where maybe this guy just wears a Winnie the Pooh mask or whatever, it would have worked better if I came in thinking that, not thinking this is Winnie the Pooh. You're not getting Winnie the Pooh. And yeah, you know what? I'm going to leave it at that till the spoiler section.
Would you recommend the movie?
I'm going to give it like, I can't recommend it. I was going to really try to give it a slight recommend. I feel like people that are listening to this probably have already seen it. And if you haven't, you're like very morbidly curious about it. So you probably will watch it. Don't go out of your, like, watch this for free somewhere. Don't pay to watch this unless, you know, you're like me. Like, I'll probably pick up the Blu-ray, man. I gotta have this in the collection.
Oh my God.
Like, as just a mark.
4K Winnie the Pooh. 4K.
A mark in time. There has to be like a mark in time this existed. And, you know, I'm excited for this extended universe. I'm excited for Bambi. I'm excited for Peter Pan. I'm excited for it all.
I'm not excited for the extended universe. I'll kick it off with some of the good, I think, starting off, which I will agree with you that the movie delivers on the bare minimum that it needs to justify, like, its existence.
No pun intended.
Yeah, that will be the slug line at the top of our, you know, Instagram post. The bare minimum, 100%. You get beloved characters from your childhood, precisely two poorly realized beloved characters from your childhood that are little more than, like, some dude in a mask. But those beloved characters are there, nonetheless. And it's a horror movie in which they brutally murder a bunch of people. So if there's a sort of, I can't believe they're doing that level of enjoyment to the movie inherently there, and there's a good amount of gore, so you'll get like a base level enjoyment out of that if that's what you're there to look for. Outside of that, I got a couple of other things. There is a flashback sequence in the movie that has absolutely nothing to do with Winnie the Pooh. I'll speak vaguely about it. It's kind of like a stalker story, and it's like 2 minutes long. I thought that was genuinely a pretty competent sequence. I thought it was kind of freaky. I don't know why it was in a Winnie the Pooh movie, but I did enjoy it. Additionally, there's one shot of Winnie the Pooh that I think he looks really good. He's there, and his eyes are glowing a little bit, like they're a little bit yellow, and there's some honey on his lips, and it's like dimly lit. And he just looks like really gross and menacing in that moment. I thought it was actually a pretty strong, like, horror image. Like, I don't know why they didn't use that for, like, the poster or for, like, screenshots of the movie, because I saw it, I was like, oh, he kind of looks fucked up there, like he's jacked up, which I thought was pretty good. Outside of that, I think all that's left for this movie is like the ironic enjoyment of how stupid it is. And I mean, even more so than the usual like slasher logic, like this is like Fast and the Furious movie logic. Like, you know, Vin Diesel pulls down a helicopter with his bare hands type of thing. You just kind of shrug and go along with it because you're in a Fast and Furious movie. It's kind of like the movie is so stupid and has such dumb logic that you'll wind up laughing along with it at some points, but probably more often laughing at it, I think. Because I completely disagree with you. I think it's like woefully incompetent. But then again, I haven't seen those other Walmart Blu-ray movies you're talking about. I just like my biggest note is just like, I can't believe like how incompetent it is. Like even right from the very beginning, which I won't spoil 100% what the opening scene is. It's kind of clever for, you know, a movie based on like children's illustrated books. But like the style in which it's told is so cheap and so scratchy and so bad that it's like, what is the cheapest and quickest option we could take to just execute this and get it across? Like there is no love and care put into that opening sequence. And that kind of bleeds over into like all the technical aspects of the movie. Like I got a list of things here that it's like numerous shots are out of focus and poorly framed. A good amount of the dialogue is mixed too low, so the score drowns it out, which is common in a lot of movies nowadays. or it's not captured clearly enough to make it what the actors are saying. And then all the actors have hard accents as well. So there was multiple scenes where I had to turn on subtitles just to be like, okay, did I miss an important line? And like all the time, it was something completely inconsequential that I was like, why is this even in the movie? The color grading, it completely changes between shots, between scenes. Sometimes it'll look like it's the middle of the afternoon. Sometimes it'll look like it's after supper, like getting into the evening times, and it'll just cut back and forth. The visual elements, visual effects, you know, we mentioned the CGI blood, but you know, fire or bees or whatever, all that looks bad. And then they do these visual warpings of the face of Winnie the Pooh and Piglet to try and make these, you know, obviously plastic masks emote to some degree. And oh my god, it is like the hokiest shit every single time they do it. They just want to make like Winnie the Pooh have a mischievous grin or something. Oh, it's so bad. And I'm not even someone who watches for this most of the time, but I noticed like numerous like filmmaking goofs as well. Like, you know, like the Red Letter Media guys are really good at watching movies, and they'll basically point out when, like, I don't know, a ceiling tile is out of place over there because they had to get the boom arm in. Or they'll point like, oh, you can see actually the lighting, you know, the C-stand over here in the corner or something. I don't notice that shit a lot of time when I'm watching movies. But there was a part early on in this movie where they kind of linger on a series of missing, you know, like posters for yeah. like people that went missing in this area. And it's on a door and they're all like kind of reacting to it. And then they do a tracking shot where they walk in through the door next to it. And as the camera's pulling up next to that window, they're going to put the camera through that window. But they completely removed all the missing signs in the whole window. They removed the whole fixture so they can go through the door. And it literally, the camera shows it all. It's just like one cut earlier, this whole like missing, you know, windows thing existed. And a cut later, it's just completely gone. And then it just stays away until the end of the scene. There's like stupid shit like that, that I was just like, man, that's... I don't know. I haven't noticed it. It was wild. Like, obviously, lots of times you'll do a shot that's going in through a window or there's a pass off or something like that. But it was just, I've never seen it where you just see where they actually ripped the window out of the old building. Like, it just blew me away. There was another shot I had to make, you know, note of, and I'm just rambling on about everything that's bad in this movie. But there was a scene where clearly they went back for reshoots and there was Christmas lights left up around the whole perimeter of like the fence line and stuff. And I just was like, wait, was this movie supposed to be in the Christmas time? Like, there's no other ornaments or anything. And I'm pretty sure it's just like they went back for reshoots and they were either too lazy or didn't care to like actually take down the Christmas lights. They're just left up. So anyways, I don't know. It's just like everything about this movie that it's just so incompetent and so bad. But with all that said, I will say... Oh man, sometimes I hate this show because I just ramble on for 10 minutes, but now I hate this thing. I will say that if you're morbidly curious and you enjoy bad movies, then this might be worth checking
yes.
out. If you're just literally like, okay, how bad is this? You know, it isn't boring. And you've heard me say it on the show before, the worst thing you can be is boring. This isn't boring. It's like 84 minutes or something. That's including probably 5 minutes worth of credits. This thing is quick. There are numerous kills in it. It is really stupid. You'll probably roll your eyes at numerous technical aspects if you're anything like me. But I have to give it probably like a very slight recommend for very specific types of people. For people that would literally look at a Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey poster and be like, oh man, I gotta check that out. If you don't get that from looking at the poster, do not watch this movie. The poster is probably better than this movie, so do not watch it. But if you are like that and you're morbidly curious, then maybe check it out, I would say.
I like this for you.
Oh god, I hate this. So yeah, the slightest ever recommendation from me, if you're morbidly curious, and you kind of said the same,
yeah.
You didn't want to actually say a recommend, but we're pretty much on the same page there, I think. So with that, I think it's time to cut to the spoiler discussion for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. We are now in our spoiler discussion for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. So if you've not seen Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, it's time to tune out and come back once you've seen the movie. Or keep listening if you simply don't care. And I have a feeling most of you this time do not care. So Rowan, you kind of tiptoed around some things in the spoiler-free section. You said you wanted to say more in the spoiler-filled. So here you are. What do you want to say? What do you need to get off your chest?
I guess I'm going to push back a little bit. I didn't overly hate the intro. I actually wrote that I thought the intro was fine. That, yes, it was as basic of a, like, drawing that, you know, I'm trying to think how to explain. It's basically, you know, like a typical kids movie that is usually based on a book, and they'll show illustrations from the book, but, like, they're being drawn as they're talking, and yeah, it was very super basic. I guess I didn't expect anything crazy, so I was like, yeah, this is cool, like, you know, they're giving it this, like, literary aspect, and,
yeah,
but it kind of, like, and this is how bad it is, like, it pretty much fucks with the movie the minute they do the intro, because we see drawn pictures of Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh and Piglet.
Rabbit and Owl, yeah. And Piglet.
And, yeah. And guess what?
The gang is here.
They're not guys that are like 6'6" with masks on.
Yeah, and they're also supposed to be like emaciated and starving. And obviously, you can kind of extrapolate from newspaper clippings or maybe some kind of like mounted antlers of hunting. Maybe they were doing a lot of hunting, but they're supposed to be starving.
Yeah.
You know, starving adolescent crossbreeds nonetheless. So why are these big dudes?
Yeah, well, I didn't get it at all, because I'm like, man, these pictures are of animals, and we're like, nah, it's just dudes with masks. Like, we have to believe this transformation to dudes with masks.
So I went back and I listened to it, because I was like, this is weird. I agree, it bumped for me, but not only because of the art style, which I will agree with you. Conceptually, I think it is a good opening. I think it is fun, and even kind of perverting, like, the child illustrations, like, and putting it through a horror lens is,
yeah,
a good idea. It's just, I think they literally went like the cheapest, scratchiest way ever. And some of it is somewhat effective, but most of it to me just reads like this is the cheapest, quickest option. Like, to me, this doesn't read like it was in the script from day one. And this was part of the thing. They were working behind the scenes for months. This is like you paid someone to make it in the course of a weekend is what it felt like to me. But I went back and I listened to, and they specifically specify that they're adolescent crossbreeds. Some would say abominations. So there's supposed to be mixtures of human and animals in this version of Winnie the Pooh. So that might have escaped you, but that is their explanation for why these are also like human, you know, upright and big guys. And then they also explain that they don't speak because they've reverted to their animalistic ways or something in the opening as well, which I guess is a way of getting around how hard it would be to capture any audio from these masks, which, when Pooh speaks at the end of the movie, I didn't know what he said. I had to turn on subtitles. I was like, what did he say there? Did you get what he said right away?
No, I didn't.
No, it was, you left. So it was just like vengeful against Christopher Robin still.
Well, and it doesn't make any sense anyway, because when they like find the girl that's like chained up or whatever.
Yeah.
And she says, she's like, oh, they talk broken English, like some sort of broken English, but I hear them talking. And I was just like, well, then obviously they talk. And that's a whole other thing, that anytime anyone is chained in this, they don't even restrain the actors. The actors are, you can see them, they're just basically holding the chains in their hands.
Yeah, exactly. And you were the one talking about these technical aspects of the movie that are very impressive. People chained up and they're holding, you know, the other side of the chain.
And that's where, like, the editing was all wonky, too. Like, in that scene where they find that woman, like, you know, they're...
Her name is Charlene, and the reason I know that is I had to Google, like, who is this? Oh. I had to go on Wikipedia and be like, what is going on here? I can't make out half of what she's saying, and where did she come from? I literally thought she was Christopher Robin's girlfriend.
Yeah, no one knows, but Charlene, they're like, oh, we gotta get you out of here, and then there's just, like, a hard cut edit, and she's out. Like, she's just...
Oh, yeah.
They're walking away, and it, like...
That shit happens all the time in this movie, where they'll set up something in the previous scene, you'll cut, it'll never be addressed again. What was it earlier in the movie where they went up to that girl's room and she had like rose petals put out on the bed and there was a picture? It looked like an ultrasound picture, but I have no clue what it was.
I didn't understand what it was either.
I don't think they do a close-up of it. I was literally like, I don't know what this is. Like, and then I think that's one of the girls too that has the stalker flashback that I alluded to in my positive notes, that it's like there is this little like kind of like voyeuristic, you know, a fear of being watched short film that's 2 or 3 minutes long in this Winnie the Pooh movie, where she's just basically, she's afraid to look outside because there's someone stalking her and watching her through the windows and whatnot. And then it winds up being that he sneaks inside and tries to undress her while she's asleep, which is just very like that is just weird in and of itself, obviously. But the way it's framed with him like kind of perched next to her bed and stuff, like I thought it was actually pretty competent. And I was just like, why am I watching a Winnie the Pooh movie? We should be watching something more in the vein of Watcher from last year or something. Like, what is this?
What I enjoyed the most was the fact that the Winnie the Pooh and Piglet are like human enough that they just live in trailers.
Well, there's like 3 or 4 trailers that are, I guess, supposed to suggest, oh, Owl and Rabbit live over here. Not Eeyore, because there's a really nice tombstone to Eeyore in this movie that says R.I.P. Eeyore on a plank of wood in the background of one of the early shots when they all arrive. And it was just like so hilarious. But I think they literally rented out like one of those treehouse Airbnb situations. Like, that's what it read to me. They rented it out. They put some, like, mounted antlers and kind of, like, hunted wild game in there to make it seem, like, more cabin-y, I guess. And then they were just like, all right, now we'll roll the trailers in near this, and this is where they live. This is, like, the centerpiece, this shitty treehouse, you know?
I like to imagine whoever's, like, Airbnb it is, and then they just see this movie. Or so I was like, hey, isn't this your Airbnb in this Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey movie? And
I was wondering that when I was watching this, because I've worked in locations trying to like get actual locations to shoot in, and it's just like I can't imagine being the guy to go and pitch like, yeah, we want to shoot Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey here, you know, we're gonna have naked girls getting murdered all over your property, we're gonna have so much like fake blood, we're gonna bludgeon her to death in the hot tub or whatever, you know. It's just like so messed up. Like, how do you pitch that? I guess you don't mention any of that and you just say, oh, we're filming a Winnie the Pooh movie, and they go, oh, okay, you know, they just think it's a Disney thing. But oh man, it's just awful.
I do want to say my favorite / least favorite kill in this was the wood chipper. When they put the girl in the wood chipper and she casually kicks her legs, like,
well, first off, they rip off her shirt, because we got to see some boobs. This is a slasher movie, so Winnie the Pooh just rips off her shirt, just tits flying everywhere, and then he literally just bashes her head in against the wood chipper a dozen times or so. Like, she's definitely dead, like 100%. Then, yeah, her kicking legs somehow when she's obviously already dead, as she's going into the wood chipper.
It looks like she's just, like, wading water while she's swimming. Like, if there's no, like, ferocity to the kicks, it's just casual, just slow.
It was funny when I was watching, and I was like, I wonder if they actually put, like, a plank or something down there to make sure, like, she doesn't, like, slip too far in. Or, like, obviously, it's not running, and it's unplugged and all that. But, I mean, like, there's still probably blades or something in there. Like, I was wondering about safety precautions when I was watching that because of how poorly it was done.
But, like, you know, and I guess not to, like, shit on it, there was some shots where I think it was earlier on in the film where they kind of do a shot where you see like the entire woods and like the entrance into the woods, and I was like, this actually looks cool. Like,
that's 100% stock footage, I bet. Like, I looked at it, it's 100% stock footage, and then they literally took like a rectangle and like adjusted the opacity in After Effects. That's what they did, because it's like, it's no way is from this movie.
And it looks like the shot was so well done. I'm like, this is really out of place, and like, The woods look creepy. Everything looks good. I was like, how did they pull this one off? Especially like when we're in the woods, like you can tell they kind of just had this like fence of logs made that they just kept moving wherever they were shooting. Yeah. Cause mm-hmm. It was just like the same like 10 feet of log that you're supposed to think are these like tunnels or whatever.
Another kind of competent edit, I guess, that made me think of a different movie, is there's a day to night transition very early in this movie. I think it's when they arrive to the 100 Acre Woods, to like the treehouse and stuff. It cuts outside, and it's on almost like a violin pluck. It instantly changes to night, and it does it right on beat, just like Hereditary does, like two or three times throughout the movie. And I was like, oh man, this guy likes Hereditary. This is what he made with this. But yeah, it was like perfectly framed. Obviously they had to, you know, set the camera up rolling all day to get the perfect cut, but it's just funny. It made me think of that.
I'm curious though, have you ever like gotten in a fight at any time in your life where someone just slapped the face off of you?
Slapped
you, and next thing you knew, half your face is gone.
You're talking about the end when Winnie the Pooh just levels up, and it's literally like that scene in Halloween Kills where all the townspeople are beating up Michael Myers, and then he just comes back like he's way stronger and just like levels the ball. Yeah, I made a note that Winnie the Pooh karate chopped his face off, which is pretty cool. I'm going to say I was shocked. And there's a shot right before he does it where it's supposed to be a forced perspective shot to make Winnie look really good. But obviously they added like CGI augmentation because literally Winnie the Pooh is like 20 feet tall yeah. compared to this guy. And it looks so goofy. But yeah, he slaps the face off of like discount Taika Waititi. I thought that was, I don't know, that was an inspired choice.
Well, listen, as bad as, you know, there was a lot of bad like computer CGI gore scene stuff, I thought the gore was actually like pretty good for, you know, this terrible, but I mean, I was
the practical stuff, I will say, is pretty good. Yeah,
the gore, if you're going into this purely, you know, like I do, where it's a slasher, you want to see kills, you want to see gore, like most of these ITM movies have like two kills in them because that's all they can afford, where like this actually, you know, like,
oh, this probably has like a dozen.
Yeah. Like the kills are, you know, I thought pretty good for this kind of thing. I mean, like I said, I'm waiting for the cinematic universe. I can't believe this made over $4 million.
Yeah. I mean, in a way that doesn't surprise me because that's the power of like IP. And it's also the power of people being like, what the hell is this? You know, it's like, it's kind of like a train crash or something. Like you need to go, you don't want to look away. Like, you know, everybody wants to see like the horror Winnie the Pooh movie. Plus you said it had a lot of viral marketing when it was coming out. Right. So yeah, they made, you know, boatloads of money off of this. In the same scene that you just discussed, Winnie the Pooh somehow summons a swarm of bees, and that's the sort of shit that I'm talking about comes out of left field. That I think there's one other scene in the movie where he's walking and they put some CGI bees behind him. Other than that, there's nothing in the movie that suggests that he controls bees. But right at the end, he like waves his hands through the air, his paws through the air, you know, angrily, and summons a swarm of bees on the last guy. It's remarkable. I don't know where that came from. It's so stupid that I was just like, okay, yeah, sure, summon bees, whatever.
Well, and that was just like the weird turns it took, because for a while I kind of was like, oh, are they trying to play with like some sort of like witchcraft stuff or whatever? Because even like when he's whipping Christopher Robbins and stuff, like,
I just thought he was kinky there.
But like, it seemed like they show Christopher Robbins back and it seems to be like some sort of like pattern or drawing or something. And I was like, oh, okay, they're going to like, maybe they're going to get into like how, you know, Winnie the Pooh and Piglet exist is like these, you know, I don't know what you call animal slash like
like pagan demons or something that are animal human hybrids.
Pagan demon slash like trailer trash guys, I guess, yeah, or something. Yeah. Like,
I got the trailer trash vibe big time from this.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it was a mixture of like, we got Winnie the Pooh, but we also want to do like this southern rural horror and maybe throw some witchcraft, some spooky shit in there. But yeah, like you said, it was just, everything was a mess. Like the plot with the main characters, the girls, like,
oh, I just stopped trying to make any sense. Yeah. It makes literally no sense. And then all of the character arcs are left unpaid. Like literally the woman who's afraid of stalkers and at this retreat to overcome her trauma gets her throat slit at the end of the movie. There's no, like, she doesn't overcome anything. You know, she doesn't get a retreat. There's nothing out of it. And then they have stuff like the Instagram girl that I feel like they wanted to be like an OnlyFans model or something, but didn't want to go that far with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, okay, like, is this supposed to be the quote unquote slut in the movie to get killed off early? And, you know, I guess she does get her head exploded early. But that kind of prompted me to be like, what does a car running over someone's head have to do with Winnie the Pooh? I was just kind of like, I wanted more themed kills. When he summons a swarm of bees, I'd be like, okay, at least if he like poured some honey over them or something, I would kind of be into it. You know, it was just like, I wanted more connection to the IP. I wanted, at the end of the movie, I thought what he was doing actually when he was stabbing the girl in the head over and over again, I thought he was like coring out her head to make like a honey pot. Which is a stupid idea for me to say out loud, but this is like
awesome.
How dumb this movie is. Yeah, I thought like it was going to end with him like putting her head on one of the shelves, you know, with like the honey coming out of her mouth or something stupid, you know, like it was just kind of, I don't understand. Like, I'm kind of with you that it doesn't really make a lot of sense or make good use of the Winnie the Pooh IP or anything. It's just kind of a slasher with people wearing Winnie and Piglet faces, I guess. And Piglet doesn't even look like Piglet at all.
No, he's got, he looks more like Bebop or something from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But yeah, like I thought it would have worked just as good if it was like, it's just these guys, they've got Winnie the Pooh and Piglet masks on and they're killing people. But, and then we keep talking about like the ending stuff, but like, see, the ending's where I kind of thought this like really worked. Like, it was brutal, it was ridiculous. Like, there was stuff like him getting crushed in between the cars and pushing.
And then
the
one car disappears because the other one has to explode and they don't want to injure both cars. They don't want to damage both cars. That was pretty good.
But it was just like that whole stuff. And like, I thought even when he's like stabbing her in the head in the end, I'm like, oh yeah, this is pretty like brutal. And like, if for a basic slasher, I'm like, yeah, this is kind of cool. But yeah, it just, luckily it's not so long that the fact that it's not all like that doesn't really matter, because it does go through, the pace is pretty quick on this.
I thought it was hilarious when Pooh was riding on top of the car or the truck at the end, just because obviously they wanted it to look like they were driving down the road, but it was very obviously the car was completely stationary. And they were doing what's called poor man's process, you know, to try and make it look like the car is moving. But like, all they had to make it look like it was moving is they were shaking the camera itself and adding shake in post, and then putting like fog, like the smoke machine was just on Blair with a fan trying to make it look like they were moving. Oh, it was just so bad.
And sadly, you know, that scene, because I kind of got excited because I was like, oh shit, that's kind of like a, I don't know if they really meant it for that, but I was like, this seems like a callback to Halloween 4, like Michael jumping on the truck, and a lot of the shots they use there were like kind of the same shots they used in Halloween 4. But I thought that's when he looked like Winnie the Pooh looked the worst, because you could also tell they had like some extra padding on them, and so it just like, the mask looked ridiculous. Not that it didn't look ridiculous. Like,
it looks bad the entire movie.
There's
like,
a lot of scenes in the back of his neck.
So bad.
Like, you can see the end of the mask, all this kind of stuff. Really, all I have to make sure I say it before we end off and go into the rating is the scene where Winnie the Pooh is angry in the bathroom and then like looks in the mirror and just thinks about his life. That was like, I was just like, did they really just basically quote Walk Hard?
I don't even remember this scene, so I'm glad it resonated with you.
Oh yeah, like there's a scene where he just like stares in the mirror and it like, it's real serious, and he flips out after because he's like remembering Christopher Robbins as a kid, and then it flashes back and then he starts smashing stuff.
Oh, that was literally the shot. I really like that shot when it comes back out and his eyes are all yellow and stuff. So yeah, I guess it's the shot I like is succeeding, like all that. You know,
To me, it was just the whole process of like I said, it's the Walk Hard joke. Like, before he goes on stage, he's got to look in the mirror and think about his entire life. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, we're doing this, I guess.
I was more distracted by the logistics of swinging a sledgehammer in a pool. That scene with Piglet in the pool with a sledgehammer, I was just like, could you actually swing a sledgehammer through the water hard enough to get enough force to come up and like actually like clock somebody? I honestly thought the girl was gonna get away because it was just such a dumb predicament, but yeah, he winds up bashing her brains in.
I mean, rightfully so, because she didn't even try to move or dodge it, just go under the water. He brought
she
it
slowly
up.
Backed up to the end of the pool, never got out.
He brought it up out of the water before he smashed it into her face. If she had went underwater, she would have just dodged it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was just thinking about how does that work. You know, how did they even structure that to be like, yeah, this needs to be in the movie? Because once again, it goes back to like the screenwriting process where I'm like, there's no way you wrote that in your movie as an action set piece, right? Like, that's, you came up, you found the location that you can get on Airbnb and you're like, oh yeah, let's put something in the pool. It has to be. Like, you would never write that in a movie, I hope. It's just such a silly premise. Did you catch the Jordan Peele movie shout out?
No, what was it? Maybe I did. Maybe
Well, Pooh's a big fan and he comes back to the house and he writes Get Out on the window with blood, you know?
So with... Wait, that scene, I didn't know what the fuck it said on the window.
It says Get Out.
Okay.
This is a really dumb joke, you know, but...
Yeah, I couldn't see. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention enough or something, because I only saw like a couple letters, and I was like, oh yeah, they'll pan out so I can see it, and then they don't ever really... And then I just didn't care enough to rewind it.
They also don't really explain how these animal-human hybrids are, they learn to read. I guess maybe Christopher Robin learning to read as a kid, but that's not explained either. So, you know, they're barely literate, can barely speak, but they can also read and write Get Out and blood on a window. So these are very high-functioning, you know, animal-human hybrids.
That should have been the tagline for the movie. Can barely speak, can barely... Right, and also barely competent.
There you go. Barely competent is what we're going with. Yeah, I don't really have anything left to go over. Like, I mean, most of my notes are just really dumb things. Like, the car's horn started beeping when they banged into each other, but then he needs to, like, walk around and do a bit of dialogue, so they adjust the slider on the car horn in the background so it's not blaring over all the audio, but the sound of the flames is still mixed louder than the car horn. Like, stupid shit like that. Like, it's all technical stuff I have notes for, and then a bunch of, like, reactions, you know, about, like, what is this? What is going on, you know? Like, oh, what was this thing? Pooh goes in and he puts like some entrails in a bucket, and then he makes Christopher Robin shower in them.
Yeah, I actually like that. I thought that was pretty cool.
What was it for? What was the point? What was it?
Well, it was his wife's entrails, I was assuming.
Oh,
because
okay.
Because they bring out her like skeleton that I'm assuming they ate, because they eat humans or whatever.
So I wasn't sure about that either, because you see someone get burned. Once again, in a like an animated, you know, sequence right before we smash to the credits of the movie, or the title sequence of the movie. So I thought she got burned.
I mean, I'm assuming that because they bring it out and
they
reacts.
They bring skeleton,
and,
yeah. I don't
and
know
he cries, like... and then they got the bucket. So I was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, they're going to traumatize them by making them bathe in these entrails and blood. And I thought that was pretty cool. I was like, this is pretty, like, disgusting and... sick, like that's a pretty
yeah
cool...
I mean, it was gross. I just didn't understand what it was, if this was in like
a Wes Craven slasher movie, we'd all be like, oh fuck, this is awesome. But unfortunately,
instead it's in a Winnie the Pooh movie. And with that, I think it's time we get into the, you know, get into rating this. If you're new to the podcast, our review rubric is nay, okay, yay, or slay. So, Rowan, what would you give Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey?
Oh my god, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm gonna give it an okay.
Oh,
I was gonna give it a nay so hard, but you know what? It's a time just talking about it. So now I just want people to watch it so I can talk about it with them. But you know what? Like you said, like I think the morbid curiosity of watching this is like a key. Like get some drinks, get some people, and be like, how wild is this Winnie the Pooh movie? It's the lowest okay I can possibly give it, just in perspective. But you know what? Like I said, there's actually some cool kills. There's a lot of kills. It goes pretty quick. You're not wasting that much time on this. This isn't like a shitty low budget movie that's like, I also need to be 3 hours long. They knew what they were, and they tried to get in and out as best as they thought possible. And as I said, I've seen a lot of these ITN produced direct to Walmart DVDs, and this is probably the higher end of them. This is like far superior than I think any other one I've ever seen by this company. So I'm going to give it like that mild okay, the same as our recommendation, like out of morbid curiosity, watch it. You probably won't hate yourself for watching it, but you'll have a good time just making fun of it with other people that have seen it. What about you, Colton? What would you rate it?
Yeah, I mean, I'd give our conversation a yay or a slay because it's been fun talking about it. But I mean, the movie is still really bad. That's the thing. I would give it a nay, but there is a part in my heart that wants to give it an okay. It's just, like, fundamentally, when I rate this on Letterboxd or when I tell my friends about it, I'm not going to say, like, oh, it was actually pretty good, you know? It's going to be like, no, the movie was still, you know, it's not remotely competent, in my opinion, in so many different ways. You know, it's incredibly underwritten. There's no characterization. I can't make out half the dialogue, you know? There's all these, like, little goofs of filmmaking in the actual movie. And then, one thing I never mentioned in the entire review, as we said, you know, they don't show all the animals of the Hundred Acre Woods. I wanted to see what rabbit looks like in this. I wanted to see what owl looks like. And we don't even get like an after the credit tease. Like, you know, you should have at least did that if you're so set on the cinematic universe. So yeah, it's just too dumb. It's too bad. But what I will say is it's definitely not like the worst thing we've reviewed on this show or within, you know, this year even. It's just bad. I can't in good conscience give it a positive review. You know, so it's going to be a nay from me. But with all that said, it is a dumb gore fest that is still marginally entertaining, if not being a great movie, you know. And if you made it this far in the show without following us on our socials, you can do so at It Slays Podcast. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Slasher, Letterboxd. If there's a social media, we're probably there at It Slays Podcast. And if you want to help support the show financially, like our horror hounds Holly, Nicholas, Patrick, Mark, Steven, Joy, and Carvey, gain access to the Patreon-exclusive show Stream Screams and get episodes of the main show 48 hours early, be sure to head on over to patreon.com/itslayspodcast and choose whatever tier works best for you. We're starting to get pretty close to that 15 patron goal that we're trying to get to, you know, start adding some video to the podcast, so maybe head on over there if you can support the show financially. And Rowan, go ahead and plug the playlist.
So if you're into music from horror movies, go to the It Slays Podcast horrific playlist on Spotify. You can search it on there, or you can go to any of our social media in the link tree, and there's a link directly to it. We put music from scores or licensed music from horror movies that we review or we love or iconic horror movies. It's all up there. We update it regularly. So go check it out and get your spooky music on.
And next time on the show, we haven't really firmly cemented anything down, but I think just based on the release schedule, it'll probably be Renfield or The Pope's Exorcist, one of those movies. If something doesn't come out on VOD before that. So yeah, I mean, at the very least, we'll be back in April. And of course, April is also Evil Dead Rise month with, you know, all the hype coming out of South by Southwest. I can't wait to see that one either. And yeah, with that, I think that about wraps things up for this episode. So until next time, I'm Colton.
I'm Rowan.
And as long as you keep listening, we'll keep slaying.